I'm going to say a phrase that, being a preacher's kid, and even when I wasn't here at this church, being kind of behind-the-scenes guy, when I would hear this phrase, I kind of roll my eyes and think, yeah, right. I wanted to preach something different tonight, and I had planned to, and over again, just the last 2 or 3 days, God has told me not to preach that. He told me to preach something else, and it's something, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago that I brought, and the song I sang this morning, Dad picked that song. I didn't want to sing that song, but everybody said, you know, great job, whatever, and I thought it might be the same thing. I want to talk about the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son, the prodigal son. So many times in life we're trying to get to the ending, the resolution of something. If you listen to music, when I was a little kid, my mom got me some classical music CDs, and one of them had the 1812 Overture. And when I think of the 1812 Overture, I just think about the cannons and the big trumpets at the end of the song. But the first time I sat down and listened to it, it was 15 minutes long, and it was kind of boring. Like, it didn't get exciting until the very end. And a lot of life is that way. A lot of life is hanging in limbo, waiting. And just the one verse we read about the shepherd, something that stood out to me tonight. When the shepherd went to look for that lost sheep, he didn't have the 99 back at home. They were still in the wilderness, and I'm sure they were protected, and you know, they were all together, but the sheep knew something was up because they didn't go home. The shepherd was out looking for that one lost sheep. And just that feeling of being, of waiting, of trying to find out what's coming next, looking for something. And that little phrase that we read, until he find it, that word until. And so many times we read the stories in the Old Testament, you know, when Noah built the ark, we always skip to the part where the ark was done and all the animals got on, but that was a long time he was building that ark. And we talk about Abraham and Sarah when God promised Isaac, but there was a good chunk of time before the promise was fulfilled. And maybe even a time of doubting, a time of waiting, and trying to figure out what God had in store. The shepherd looks for the sheep until he can find it. And you know the story. He finds the sheep. A woman has 10 coins, or she has 9, and she's supposed to have 10. And she looks through the house until she finds it, until she finds that last piece of silver. And then a man had 2 sons. And you know the story. The prodigal son leaves home, doesn't say how long he's going to be gone, doesn't say if he's ever coming back. But the father waits for the son. And when the son returns, the father is there to welcome him home. And that story, so touching, so simple, so true to nature, that coming home, finding what was lost, so closely to the experience and the feelings of every parent and child. And again, when I shared this before, 4 years ago, I had one kid. And just the experience over the last 3 or 4 years, thinking about, well, the first day we took him to school and leaving him somewhere and not being with him. And that feeling of, well, what do we do in the meantime? What are we supposed to do till we get him back? And that feeling of temporary loss, of not knowing what's going to happen next. But that word prodigal, in the case of the son, it was the father's wealth that he drove out. It means to drive away. To take it and to waste it. And some of us, we might not have lost wealth, but other things have been driven out of our life. And that's that sense of assurance, that sense of patience or sanity or the health. The health has been driven out of your life. And that feeling of, I just want this to be over. I don't want to be sick anymore. I don't want to be unsure anymore. I don't want to be in pain anymore. And that waiting and waiting on the return of normal or the return of what you used to have in every age. I think the reason we keep coming back to the story of the son that left and returned, every age it has touched and awakened the careless, raised the despairing, and established the penitent in hope and happiness. And perhaps the page on which the parable is recorded has exerted more influence upon mankind than any other page that was ever penned. And again, tonight I come back to this because it's such a comfort to me to see what people do while they're waiting for God to come through in their life. Jesus was talking to 2 groups of people, the Pharisees and the scribes, and they were the ones that said, we're the good guys, we're the saints. And Jesus was also talking to the publicans and the sinners. And these were the guys that said, I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm not right. And Jesus was telling these three stories to both of those people. The Pharisees and the scribes probably thought, I have arrived. I am where I'm supposed to be. I know the law. I follow the law. The publicans and sinners knew that they weren't what God wanted them to be. They knew they were sinners. The publicans, tax collectors, knew they were crooked. And both of them were there to listen to that story. And they had felt either that they had no hope and they couldn't get to where they needed to be, or they had the other extreme, which also wasn't right, but they thought, I'm as good as I'm going to get, and there's nothing that can be improved. And some were educated and some were not. Some were had money and some did not. Some of them had control of themselves and some of them did not. But in each of those three stories, there's a loss. There's a wound. There's an unmet need. There's a hole. There's something missing that needs to be returned. And there was, I'm sure, the shepherd and the woman and the father all thought at some point, it's never going to be the way it was. I'm never going to get it back. It's never going to be how it used to be. And I'm sure that in both, all three of these cases, there might have been the temptation to just settle and accept what had happened and not try to improve the situation. We know that the older brother was not happy with Dad when the son left. We know that when the son came home, he said, I've been here this whole time, and it wasn't good enough with just me. I was the good son. I did what I was supposed to do. And we know that in the shepherd's case, we know that 99 sheep is still a pretty good number, and 10 or 9 coins out of 10 is still pretty good. But tonight I want to talk about two things. What's gone missing in your life, what's been driven out of your life that you thought would never be driven out, and how do you act while it's gone? What do you do while that prodigal is missing from your life? What do you do while it's missing? And first, I want to look at these tonight. The burden for the lost. What has been driven out of your life? The songs that we sing. We sing about sinners that don't know Jesus. And the Bible talks about when Moses led God's people, and the people had sinned a great sin. A lot of times we say, well, they're sinners, but we don't think about a sinner means somebody that sins. I know that's really deep, but we think about most sinners are not people that we want to be around because of the sin in their life. And Moses was leading God's people, and he said, they've sinned a great sin. This is in Exodus 32, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. So Moses said, these are your people, they're sinners, but that burden that he had, the burden that he had for his people, so much that he said, take me out. And Stephen, we know when Stephen was stoned, the future apostle Paul was standing there in the crowd that was killing him. And Stephen called out to God and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep and he died. And we know that Paul was there. We know that at least one person in that crowd got forgiveness from God. We know that one prodigal in that crowd that killed Stephen went on from that situation, went on and got out of their sin, and was able to be used by God. And Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. While they were taking his clothes and mocking him, he said, Father, forgive them. And this, again, something that pointed me back to this truth this week. What is missing in my own life? And so many times I use this example this week or the last 2 weeks. There's been somebody that's taken up a lot of attention in the news, and he's a young man, and he got in trouble. And my first instinct is to think, I don't want to know anything about this guy. I wish they wouldn't talk about him so much. But instead of, I wonder if somebody's prayed for him. I know he has a ton of influence. He's a singer. I know people love him. I know a lot of people I know just really adore this guy that's getting in trouble this week. And I wonder if anybody's prayed for him. Or I wonder if everybody has the same attitude and says, well, I wish we had to stop listening. I don't want to know any more about this guy's troubles. But imagine if somebody were to reach him and all those people that follow him. And anybody, if you think about a sinner, of somebody that's been caught in sin, if they were able to turn in a public way and say, this God made the difference in my life. Imagine the influence. Instead of writing that person off, instead of saying, well, just get out of the way. I don't want to hear any more about it. I don't want to be bothered by that. And I think we're lacking that a lot. Instead of saying and looking at the sinners around us and saying our desire should be that God would forgive them. Our desire should be that God would use them. Our desire should be that God can bring good out of their life. And so many times we look around and just say, oh, just get out of my way. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to look at that. And we've lost that burden for the lost that burden for sinners around us. Instead of writing them off, we should pray for them and say, God could use them. Imagine the influence if it was for good. Imagine the talent if it was for good. And so many times we look at people and we write them off when only God can do that. Only God is the one that, you know, turns them over to a reprobate mind and says, I don't have a use for you anymore. And until God does that, we shouldn't write them off. And we might be missing that. We might have let it be gone so long that 9 out of 10 isn't that bad, or 99 out of 100 is not that bad. But it's missing a burden for the lost, the sinners that are in your story. I know I'm kind of weird, but if you think about it, we can only pray for the people that are in our lives now. Now, I didn't live 100 or 200 years ago. You know, you hear about things that happened in the past, and you wonder what it would be like to live in that time. But God didn't put me in that time. So I can't pray for people in the past. I can only pray for people that I know now. I can only have a difference in their life now. And maybe in my mind, I would rather live in a different time of history. You know, we always talk about the Bible days might have been the best days to live in. But God didn't put me in those days. He put me in these days. So the people that he puts around me, the sinners that God puts around me now, those are my sinners that I'm responsible to pray for. I might choose different sinners, but the sinners that God put around me are those that I need to pray for. And we're lacking in that. I'm lacking in that. Passion for God's words. Angie just sang about it. A passion for the word of God, for the spirit of God, for God to be near us, for God to indwell us, for us to feel his presence. And I know we've testified tonight that we do. But to say, I enjoy it so much, but I want more, to hunger and thirst after it. To hunger and thirst after righteousness. And in Psalms 42, it says, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And again, if you can think of a time in your life where you had more of a hunger and thirst for God, and something has changed, you don't have that anymore, start to miss it again. Start to look for it again. A tender heart that is listening for God's leading. When Samuel was called by God, more than once he went to the wrong person. You know, more than once God said, Samuel, and more than once Samuel went to Eli instead of saying, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Before he finally got, he talked to Eli, and Eli said, that's God calling you. And more than once, God called out to him, and Samuel went to the wrong source to get the answer. Until he eventually said, it's God speaking to him. You know, a lot of us are dense. We need more than one call. We need more than one burden to be placed upon us. And that tenderness of heart, that ability to listen for God's leading in our life. Most people in the Bible didn't respond the first time. Most people didn't get it right away the very, very first time that God spoke to them. Even all throughout the Bible, but God gave them, when Jonah went to Nineveh, God gave them a second chance. God gave them another opportunity for them to respond to God's leading. And then I've said all these things that might be have driven out of your life, the lost or damaged relationships between husbands and wives, teenagers, parents, brothers and sisters, and parents with children that have grown up and they don't think they're making the right choices, and the friendships that you might used to have that you don't have anymore. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I appreciate so much people say, I pray for you, or I pray for you every day. And that burden that God puts on their heart. And I know I need it. I know I need prayer, and I know each of us need prayer. And when the Apostle Paul said, every time I think of you, I thank God for you. He didn't say I criticize you or I think about all your faults, and I know there's many. I was going to say when Dad had his blooper or correction today, if I did that, we'd be here all night and I'd never actually get to say anything. So, but all the mistakes that we make, whether intentionally or not, but when we think of each other, we say, well, no, I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to pray that every good thing comes in their life, that every good thing that God has for them, that they get it, that they know it's from God and that they get it and they love it. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Paul said, when I think about you, I'm refreshed. So what's missing? Maybe I didn't hit it in the list. And again, this has been convicting to me because there's always something that should be better than it is. There's always something missing. In the case of the prodigal son, in the case of the lost coin, in the case of the lost sheep, what's missing and how do you act until it comes back? In two of those stories, they were responsible to find it, the sheep, the coin. In one story, the man just had to wait until it came back. While you're searching and praying and waiting, what are you doing in the meantime? First I said acknowledge the loss. There's a problem. It's not right. It's not the way it's supposed to be. The shepherd said, I'm supposed to have 100, I only have 99. The lady said, I'm supposed to have 10 silver coins, I only have 9. And the father said, my son is gone, I miss him, I love him, he's not here, but I'm going to watch and prepare, I'm going to be ready for when he comes back. I'm going to keep the calf fat, and I'm going to have everything ready to go when he comes back. So acknowledge that something's not right. Acknowledge that there should be a greater burden for the lost. Acknowledge that the sinners that bother you really do need our prayers. The people that get in our way and that frustrate us, and we wish we had better people to pray for, but those are the sinners that God put in our life. Acknowledge them and pray for them. Say, I don't have the hunger and the thirst for righteousness that I should have, or that desire to be near God, to have God near me. Acknowledge that it's not the way it should be. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person or you've made wrong choices. Just acknowledge that it's missing. Acknowledge that it's not the way it should be. And then leave a place, hoping and praying that it comes back. The father was ready when the son returned. The shepherd did not give up looking until he found the sheep. And the woman was not satisfied till she had all 10 coins. And if the shepherd had stopped looking, if the woman had stopped looking, if the father had decided that only one of his sons was really his son. But don't ever do that. Always leave a place. And I'm sure many times God, who is patient with us, God who loves us very much, wants to give us a fresh burden, wants to give us a new hunger, a new hunger and thirst for righteousness. He wants to restore a relationship. And so many times we've not left room for God to do that. We haven't left a place for him to work because we've shut down. We've closed in. I told the kids Wednesday night, we talked about that verse, the thou shalt know the truth and the truth will make you free. We have to be honest with ourselves if we're going to be free. We have to tell ourselves that something's not right. Just like when you get saved, you have to know that you're a sinner before you can acknowledge that you need a savior. And we have to tell ourselves the truth about the situation that God has put us in. A restored relationship. We've already denied the loss in many cases, and we're not looking to restore the relationship. We've already written that person off. We've already stopped praying for them. We've already stopped thanking God for them. And we've closed the door on restoring that relationship. And tonight, I just want to ask you, we are going to get done a little bit early, but tonight, when the time that you have, go home and set a place for your prodigal to come back. If you've lost a burden for sinners, if you don't pray for sinners, if you've lost the hunger for God's word, you have a hole in your life. And do something to remind yourself of that loss. Not to beat yourself over the head and give yourself a guilt trip, but just to make room in your life that when that should return, you'll be ready for it. That you'll know what to do if God decides to give you that burden again, if God decides to give you that relationship again, that you're ready to work and you're ready to do what God wants you to do. And for those that you don't know of a hole, those that you don't know of a missing thing in your life, more than likely there's not any of us that way, but if there's somebody here that says, you know, really everything is the way it should be, I'm at peace with God, I have assurance with everything in my life, I'm not upset, I'm not unhealthy. Think of a time, either before or imagine a time, if God were to take it away. I love my family, I tease about Arnie likes to scream a lot, but every now and then I am a little weird, and I think about what would happen if God took someone away from my family, if God took something from me. And I imagine what it would be like to have them missing. And I thank God my family's complete. Our little family's together. But what if God decided to test me? What if God did decide to make a prodigal in my life? What would I do? And just if you got it all together, if you have no doubts, think about how you would react if God decided to test you. And be ready. Be ready. Set a place. Be ready to receive the leadership that God gives you. Be ready for the loss and be ready for it to come back. And my challenge again tonight, let people show you their appreciation. Let people have a ministry to you. And none of us are perfect. None of us are what we should be. But if someone has an opportunity to be a blessing to you, let them be a blessing. If you have an opportunity to bless somebody else, take the opportunity. Let them know that you appreciate them. Let them know that your life wouldn't be the same without them. And be thankful for the relationships that you have. Again, you know, everybody does this every now and then, but they just say, well, if I could just be friends with those people over there, or if I could be in the popular crowd, you know, I was always not in the popular crowd. If I wasn't really athletic or super smart, or, you know, I wasn't on the student council. But you always say, if I could just have that group of friends. But be thankful for the friends that you do have. Be thankful, you know, if the people that are in your life, the people that God has placed in your life. And again, be thankful for the people that God has put in your life to burden you to pray for them. This is where we live. This is the time that we live. And the people that are in our world, God has told us to pray for them. God has told us to lift them up. And God has told us to intercede for them, like Moses did for his people, like Stephen prayed for the people that were persecuting him. And we've lost a little bit of that. We're too inward focused. We're not looking to pray for those that want to hurt us. And we need to set a place for that time when it comes back, when God gives us the burden again, when we need to be ready to receive it. And that's what I want to challenge with you tonight. If you are ready, when God says, I want you to go to these people, I want you to have a burden for this, I want you to make a difference in this person's life. If we say, well, you know what, there was a little part of me that was a hole that was missing. I needed that. I've been asking God for that, and I'm glad God's given me the leadership to go ahead and do that. And when the son returned home, the father was ready to receive him. And I'm sure he didn't feel like getting up and getting ready and being ready every day to watch for his son. But the day the son came home, the father was ready. And I think we as Christians, especially in this world, as bad as it is, we need to be ready to forgive. We need to be ready to pray for one another and pray for the sinners that God has put in our life. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation. And again, thank you for listening. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight again, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge that you give us. What to do in the meantime? What to do while we wait? What do we do until we find it? Until we get what you have for us? How do we act in the meantime? Help us to follow you. Help us to trust in you. Help us to encourage each other. Help us to beg for the burden that we used to have or that we need to have, and help us to fill the void in our life with your word, with your burden, with your love. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.